Good afternoon. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. With me is Phil Conlon.
Good afternoon, Phil.
Good to see you. And we hope to be talking to Isaac Saney about this event that's coming up at a different book list. There's also, of course, later in the show, we're going to be talking to Michael Kiefer, who is going to be speaking at Betts at Toon. And I will give you all the details in a moment. And later in the show, probably at the halfway point, we will be talking with Chris Black. He's a Toronto criminal lawyer. I hate to say the expression criminal lawyer. It always sounds like you're talking about the lawyer. International lawyer of repute, and he has written a number of important articles about this occasion of the Victory Day celebrations of the 70th anniversary of victory over fascism and the surrender that occurred on May 8 and 9, since it was different time zones. Actually, I don't know what time it was in on our side of the planet. It was 11-something at night in Germany.
So it would have been around 5:30 in the evening.
5:30 in the evening.
Yeah. On the 8th.
On the 8th.
Yeah.
And it was already the 9th in Moscow. If you don't know where you were at that time, we would just send us your address, and we'll tell you what time it was. That's why you listen to the program. And so those will be the topics. By the way, Twitter has slowly crept into the Taylor Report, so you can follow us on Twitter at Taylor Report. And as I say that, I don't know if that's a hyphen or not, but I think it's Taylor Report, at Taylor Report.
It's at Taylor Report. That is a it might be an underscore. We're going to have to
we'll find
our expert. We'll get back to that.
That shows how new we are to this game. And that's why we don't do weather. Is that nobody would dare trust us to get it right. Most things we do get right, but it's a little tough on those things. And by the way, we do have Isaac Saney. How are you there? Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Hey, as I'm coming to the show, I'm seeing headlines that says that Canada has now dropped its travel ban on Liberia because Ebola is now under control. And this is the very topic we need to ask you about.
Yes.
The Cubans played a great role in that, in the defeat of it. And what is that role? Tell us about Cuba and its work in Africa.
Well, Cuba has always had a very special relationship with Africa historically, but specifically it has been amplified since the triumph of the Cuban Revolution in 1959. So Cuba has always felt simply because a significant population of Cuba, from Africa, that there's a tremendous debt owed to Africa because of the transatlantic slave trade. Mm-hmm. And so Cuba played, since the 1950s, have supported national liberation struggles throughout Africa, the anti-colonial struggles, up to and including the struggle against the racist system in South Africa, where Cuba played a very important role in defeating the racist South African armed forces of the apartheid state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've also, in the last two decades, have carried on that internationalism, that support, that solidarity in a different form by sending doctors all over the world, but particularly to African countries, basically free of charge. I mean, the African countries may provide, accommodation and so forth, but that accommodation is in the poorest and sectors of those countries, and the Cuban doctors, therefore, are right there for the patients,
yeah.
Norman Bethune's idea that, the patients don't come to the doctor, a truly revolutionary doctor goes to the patients. So the Cubans have had doctors serving all over Africa. I mean, in fact, as we speak right now, there's probably about 35,000 doctors in Cuba, 35,000 Cuban medical personnel serving in possibly well over 60 countries right now, with a particular focus on Africa.
Phenomenal. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then when the Ebola epidemic unfolded in West Africa, Cuba responded instantly. The Cuban government, under President Raul Castro, called an emergency meeting of the Bolivarian Alternative of the ALBA countries. Those are the countries who are a member of the Bolivarian Trade Pact, to discuss what they could do to assist Africa in fighting this. Cuba dispatched doctors who all went on a voluntary basis to Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, which were the countries that suffered the most from the countries in which the Ebola epidemic was concentrated. So they sent doctors there, and there were over 15,000 Cuban volunteers who wanted to go. And in fact, there was one particular Cuban doctor who, while he was there in West Africa, contracted Ebola, was treated, recovered, and then went back to West Africa. So it's quite an incredible achievement and so forth. And so in the context of this, the Cubans, you know, provided it was unprecedented. Even the Wall Street Journal, not known to be a friend of Cuba.
I hear that. They have never said anything. But I don't remember a nice thing said. But this is Isaac Saney, professor at Dalhousie University, and written much about Cuba, and particularly Cuba in Africa. Now, it's Dr. Jose Garcia. He's going to be speaking at a different book list, 746 Bathurst, Friday, May 15th. At 7 p.m., and I understand that I like the title. It's called Africa Called, Cuba Answered. Can you tell us who Dr. Garcia is?
Well, Dr. Portilla Garcia is somebody who has been sort of a veteran of various Cuban medical internationalisms. He's a doctor. He was in charge of Cuban medical doctors in medical personnel in Congo in 1974. He was again in charge of Cuban medical personnel in Angola in 1983 to 1985. He's a very important, very senior in the Cuban ministry, and he works in Cuban Ministry of Health, and he works for the International Affairs Department of the Cuban Ministry of Health, and is in charge of Cuban medical personnel, overseas Cuban medical personnel who are involved on these various internationalist humanitarian medical missions in over 15 countries. Mm-hmm. So he's well-placed as a medical specialist and as someone who's participated in a variety of internationalist missions and so forth.
Yeah.
So he has been involved in planning and overseeing the Cuban medical mission in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone. Now he's going on a tour of Canada, cross-country tour of Canada. He begins in Toronto. He has a talk on May 15th, as you pointed out, at a different book list. He comes to Halifax. From Halifax, he travels to Vancouver, from Vancouver to Calgary, from Calgary to Ottawa, from Ottawa to Montreal. There's Kingston, there's Hamilton, there's Niagara, and so forth involved in this tour. And during the course of this tour, not only will he do public events and public lectures, in terms of, speaking about Cuba's role, which in a sense is a model for how foreign relations should be conducted by various countries, i.e., you know, it shows what can be achieved when solidarity as opposed to selfish self-interest is at the core of foreign relations.
Medicine for profit.
It shows you what can be achieved. So he's going to be doing this tour, and he is going to be talking in general about Cuba's medical internationalist missions and what drives it and what inspires it. But more importantly, he's also going to be focused specifically on what Cuba did to combat the Ebola epidemic. So it should be quite a very interesting tour and useful tour. And aside from the public lectures, he's also going to be meeting with healthcare workers and so forth, people working in the healthcare sector in Canada, and you know, people who are involved in these kind of humanitarian missions as well. So it should be found education for people who come to his talks and so forth. So we decided to do, and sort of because it's part of what we call a Cuba for West Africa campaign, people who come can make donations, and the money will go to helping, not only the offset the expenses of the Cuban medical mission in West Africa, but contribute to ensuring that the epidemic doesn't return. I mean, it's been a very lengthy struggle by those countries to not only overcome the epidemic, but also because the healthcare systems, particularly in Sierra Leone and Liberia, were shattered by civil war, to rebuild those healthcare systems. And I should make a point here as well. I think it's important for the listeners to know, not only does Cuba send doctors, but Cuba does two other things. It also trains doctors from Africa and from other so-called third world countries, basically, in many cases, for free in Cuba. And so these doctors then make a commitment to go back to their communities, in fact, to the poorest sectors of their countries, to provide much-needed health care and so forth. And Cuba also has participated in establishing medical schools and training professors and so forth in a variety of African countries. So those countries not only can expect to receive trained medical personnel from Cuba, but they can start training their own personnel so they can become self-sufficient in health care.
Just phenomenal. By the way, there's certain third world sectors of the United States where they've taken people to train them as doctors, haven't they?
Yes, and in fact, Cuba has the largest medical school in the world, the Latin American School of Medicine, which is just outside of Havana. It's a huge medical school, and Cuba when it opened it. It was opened in the wake of a huge hurricane that devastated a Central America hurricane. Mitch did such incredible damage to Honduras. So Cuba then began to train medical personnel from Latin America to go back to the poorest communities. And then, of course, they began to extend it to, for example, African American, Puerto Rican, First Nations communities in, you know, the United States. And also, they've extended it to Canada as well. So these communities can be trained for free in Cuba at very low cost, and then they make a commitment to go back to their communities and so forth. So Cuba has adopted this very broad, very human concept of solidarity, which encompasses an incredible concept of social love, of extending solidarity to other people. And it's deeply rooted in Cuban history. And because under Jose Marti, who was sort of father of the Cuban nation, he always said that homeland is humanity, our country is humanity, humanity is our country. And under the Cuban Revolution, which triumphed on January 1st, 1959, these wonderful sentiments of Jose Marti have been converted into an explicit sphere of state policy.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I mean, that's also reflected, it was rather exciting to see Raul Castro in Moscow.
Yeah, well, it's important as well. I mean, it was interesting, I was just in a couple of weeks ago, right? And what was interesting is I came across this huge monument that's slated to have an opening, right? It already exists, but it's going to have, it's like a time capsule of the prayers, and it's going to be opened on 2068, on the 150th anniversary of the Red Army, right?
Uh-huh.
So when we come and look at the 70th anniversary, for example, of the defeat of Nazism, right? The history, as you know, has been, you know, at least in terms of popular consumption, as if nothing occurred on the Eastern Front, as if Stalingrad, the Battle of Kursk, didn't exist. But we all know that, you know, about nearly three quarters of the Wehrmacht, which were the Nazi armed forces, were concentrated on the East, and it's there that the decisive battles and the guts of the Nazi military machine was destroyed.
Indeed. That line, the guts, I remember, I think it was the British Prime Minister as the first to point that out. Ingratitude.
Yeah.
Of course, the British have a bad memory. One last question, Isaac. Cuba set such an example. I mean, is there anything comparable in the world to what they've done in this field?
No, at this time right now, there's nothing comparable. I mean, we can talk about the assistance that, in a sense, Venezuela on the Bolivarian Revolution has done, because Cuba's cooperated with them in something called Operation Milagro, which has restored the sight to over 3 million people in Latin America. These are people who would not have been able to afford cataracts and any kind of minor eye surgery, and therefore had lost their sight because they were so poor. And Venezuela played a very important role in financing and assisting this Operation Milagro and partnered with Cuba. The oil that Venezuela has basically provided, right, to a variety of countries, you know, of course, there's an economic crisis going on now, but that was part of trying to build unity and trying to create independence among Latin American countries. I mean, the ALBA agreements are very unique in the sense that they don't have reciprocity in it. Normally, when two countries sign agreements, there's the argument, I get something, you get, I get something, you get something.
Yeah,
but in the ALBA agreements, these agreements, you know, it's basically there's no reciprocity. If somebody needs something, then you provide it. And so Venezuela and Bolivia, for example, you know, have provided and played a very important role in this, right?
To each according to his needs.
Yes, exactly. But Cuba has been the symbolic and concrete anchor, because Cuba has been the example, the template, right? So in the sense that right as we speak, there is no contemporary example that compares the kind of incredible generosity, internationalism, and solidarity that Cuba has extended since 1959.
Oh, that's perfect. That's why everybody's got to go to this meeting. Isaac Sandy, thank you very, very much, and we look forward to talking to you again about these matters.
Okay. Yeah, well, thank you very much, and I really, truly appreciate you having me on your program.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Isaac Sini, and it is going to be at a different book list, Dr. Jose Garcia, and it's a different book list, 746 Bathurst, and it's the title of the meeting is Africa Called, Cuba Answered. If you need information, 416-538-0889, again, 7 p.m., and Friday, May the 15th. And Phil can straighten us out on the Twitter.
Yes, business. I've consulted the Twitter expert, and our handle is @Taylor_report.
Underscore the report.
Underscore the report. At Taylor underscore report. Don't put the in there. It's going to confuse things.
Yeah, do. Yes.
But do underscore the Taylor report because it's very important.
Yeah, Taylor underscore report.